I'm not talking about what somebody told you, but what you know for yourself. Amen. I'm talking about in the midnight hours when everyone else had left you alone and had walked away from you, and it was just you and the Lord. And you know that He made a way for you. Can you just wave your hand? Slap your neighbor a high five and tell him that I know He's a way maker. Amen. Amen. We certainly thank God. Y'all act like y'all ain't ready to move. Ain't nobody saying nothing. Ain't nobody saying nothing in the house of the Lord on today. I know your family and friends with you, but it ought not be such a confusing thing to them to see you praising the Lord. After all, that's what you say that you represent. Amen. 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 We certainly thank God for His presence in this place on today. Amen. And I just want to encourage you by telling you this. There's not a friend like the Lord Jesus. Telling you no, not one, no, not one. Gracious God, our Father, we thank You for Your presence in our lives in the most difficult moments, in the most trying times. We thank You, God, that You're there with us. And we celebrate Jesus Christ in our lives on today. Regardless of what we've come into this room with, God, we know that You are able to handle those things. And we pray today, God, that as we've come into Your house, that we would give those things to You, that You can handle them with all sufficiency, with all greatness, with all power. Change and turn around those things that are out of our control. Fix and cure what ails us. And we pray even right now, God, that You erase the doubt in someone's mind concerning Your power God, we pray even right now that you bless this congregation that's come to hear your word on today. Feed us from on high. We ask these things now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. We greet you again in the name of the risen Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. We give honor and reverence to his Holy Spirit in this house on today. And to all of you, the Father's children, it's good to be here, isn't it?
Amen.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. And I pray that you see that is the case. And I see that there are several pastor friends of ours that are here on today. So if you're a pastor friend here visiting, just wave a hand. You can stand if you want. And former pastors were here as well on today. Amen. 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 We certainly thank God for your presence here on today. And certainly we thank God for all of you, the Father's children, who have come on this Family and Friends Day. It is a blessing to our church to have you with us on today. And we pray that you stay through duration of everything that we have in store on today, including the meal.
Amen.
Amen. That's been prepared in your honor. And so we certainly thank God for your presence here on today. Amen. I want to call your attention right away to the gospel according to Mark, the second chapter. It's a very familiar passage of scripture that's recorded there. I'll be reading from the Holman Christian Standard Version, and there you will find these words. When he entered Capernaum again after some days, it was reported that he was at home. So many people gathered together that there was no more room, not even in the doorway, and he was speaking the word to them. They came to him bringing a paralytic carried by four of them. And since they were not able to bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And after digging through it, they lowered the mat on which the paralytic was lying. Seeing their faith, Jesus told the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Down to verse number 10. "But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he told the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Verse 12 tells us that immediately he got up, took the mat, and went out in front of everyone. And as a result, they were all astounded and gave glory to God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." You may be seated. I want to go back to verse 3. Says, "And they came to him bringing a paralytic carried by four men." And when they could not get all the way to Jesus, they went up on the roof, and when they had dug through it, they lowered down the bed to where Jesus was. And then watch this. Jesus saw their faith and spoke to the man. I want to talk from this particular thought: connected for a cause and committed to carrying my corner. I am connected for a cause and committed to carrying my corner. This text, my brothers and sisters, really hits us at the heart of where we are as a society. It's interesting to me at times that we are so technologically connected and yet so personally disconnected. People can be sitting in the same room, in the same house with you, and everybody has their head down and they're looking at their devices and all of the information that comes to them, and yet they really have no relationship. Does not really mean much when everything is well in your life, when things are going well, and you simply pass by and say, "Hello, how you doing?" and "Goodbye, see you later." But the reality really hits us home when we think about in life that life does not always stay where the sun is shining. Are y'all going to help me today?
Amen.
It does not always put us in the place where our health is strong and our money is tight and all of those things that pertain to our livelihood are flowing like we like. The reality, as we've heard earlier, is that life has a way of putting us in the middle of some stormy situations. Life has a way of putting us in the place of sickness and distress. And have you also noticed that when life begins to turn upside down, when life begins to get hard and difficult in your life, you see that that is the point where people will begin to back up, back off of, and back away from you. It is when you are at your lowest point, at your worst moment, that you are also now at the loneliest point of your life. And people will tell you that we think about that verse that we chose for our family and friends today, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Let me tell you that that verse works as long as you don't get too sick.
Right.
That verse works as long as you don't get too crazy. That verse works as long as you don't get too depressed, too heartbroken. Don't get too defeated and deflated. That verse works most of the time. As long as you don't get too broke, you don't go too far off the deep end. People will put up with you and they'll tell you that, baby, I understand what you're going through. Just don't get paralyzed there. Don't get stuck in that place too long. Because then you begin to hear phrases like, help me help you. Y'all ain't ever heard that. Help me help you. And then you look at them kind of side-eyed and you say, well, you know, if I could help anybody right now, I would have already have helped myself. And so the reality is I'm really in a place where I cannot do anything. I'm paralyzed. I'm immobilized. I can't move. I have not the function of what I'm supposed to be doing. It just doesn't work in this season. And you look at them after you've said that and you say, I would help myself if I could help anybody. And you know, when you're in that place and you're paralyzed, the last thing you need in your life is partners who won't participate in prayer. Homeboys who won't help. Homegirls who won't give. Y'all ain't got none of them, do you? Girlfriends who won't give. Companions who won't commit. And a crew that when you call them, won't come. Some of you sitting here right now say, well, maybe I need to rethink some of my friends. I need to shrink some of my friends on my contacts list, because when I think about when I get to my lowest moments, I really don't have them to call. And what you really discover in life is that when you are in a good place, like the prodigal son, when you've got money to spend and everybody is all around, things are good. But then life turns and there you are by yourself. I love this text, because when you look at this text as we enter it today, the first thing I want you to notice is that there is anticipation and excitement at this address. Here it is in Mark chapter 2, that Jesus has come back to his home base of ministry. And the good thing is that there's some gossip going on. I know we've been told don't gossip, don't tell that stuff, but here it is, a good opportunity. They were gossiping the good news. They were telling people in their community, like you did this week, that Jesus is in town. And as they understood what it meant that Jesus was in town, I thank God that this setting of this text is not at church. It's not at Hopewell Missionary Baptist Church, 292 Cemetery Road. But as a matter of fact, this is at somebody's individual address. Which says to us, when we look in chapter 1, we see Jesus' ministry there as he's in the synagogue. The Bible says around verse 21 that Jesus is there and he's teaching them in the synagogue. And as he's there, there is a man with an unclean spirit. You know, one of those people we wouldn't want in church today. A man with problems, a man with issues comes to the church house and he's there. And I'm glad that Jesus knew what to do with him. The Bible says that Jesus rebuked the spirit and called out the evil and unclean spirit, and the man was cleansed, but that was at church. All right. But if you keep reading a few days later, the Bible says that Jesus goes to the home of Peter, and Peter's mother-in-law is there, and she's not well. She's laying there sick in her body with a fever, and Jesus touches her, lifts her up, and she begins to serve the house. Why is that important? Well, somebody needs to know that the same thing Jesus does at church, he can do at home. As a matter of fact, when you invite him home, there's some things that will change in the home. Y'all ain't gonna help me today. Jesus goes to this home, and so he has a ministry there. And once the door has been opened, that he's willing to make house calls. The Bible tells us that later that same day that everybody who had an issue did not come to Hopewell. All right. But they went to somebody's house. I wish y'all would pray with me. They went to somebody's house where Jesus had been invited. And the same power on display in the church was present in Peter's house. And the Bible says right there in the confines of somebody's house, in their bedroom, living room, and maybe in the bathroom, somebody got their breakthrough. Which suggests to me that there are some times in life where our issues can't wait to Sunday morning. You need a word on Monday night. You need to get through Tuesday afternoon and Wednesday morning and the stress of Thursday evening. And so you can't wait to Sunday morning. You need a house call. And I'm so glad that Peter opened his house for Jesus to come. And as Jesus comes there, the Bible says that ministry began to go forth. Let me ask you a question. What kind of operation is flowing through your household? I know a lot of us got a lot of mess going on there. A lot of fighting, a lot of contention, a lot of devilment going on in our house. But I promise you, if Jesus is there, things begin to happen differently. Our home should be just as open as the house of God. If we are really, truly committed to this cause and connected to his cause. Peter opens his house, and there, as they are there, they see the same power on display, and now there is confidence that we can bring Jesus home. So now, he says, they have experienced this power here in Capernaum, but I did not just come to Capernaum. He says, we must now go to other cities and share this good news and this power there. But then after he had been gone, he does come back. Don't miss this here, because you may have missed him yesterday. You may have missed him last Sunday here when he showed up, but that's good news because he does make a return visit. I know about you that there are some things in my life I missed one time and it did not come around again, but I'm so glad that this text tells us that Jesus comes back. Now, when he comes to your house, sometimes the tendency is to keep all the good blessing to yourself. But I'm so glad that these people, if I could just put my imagination to it, they probably went running. Come see a man. That whatever you got going on in your house, he's able to have. He ain't scared of your issues. He's not scared of your brokenness, your depression, your sickness, and your pain. He says, come unto me all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you what you can't get anywhere else, and that's rest. I know you're laying out in the bed at night, but you're tossing and turning. That's not rest. You buy all these mattresses that are supposed to give you what you can't get anywhere other than Jesus. Taking all of this medication and pills and popping stuff and priming stuff and everything, nothing is working because you have not found Jesus. It says they had an excitement and anticipation about what was about to take place. And there were so many people that came to this place, there was no more room. I believe, deacons, that there are still a hunger in our nation. And in the household of faith, that people go where there's help. They will go where Jesus is mobile and active. And it says there was no more room, not even in the doorway. And as he was there, he was speaking the truth unto them. They were there, and there was anticipation and excitement at this address. And as they were there, the Bible says that there was, number two, this ailing one who makes an entrance with some assistance. Here it was. While they were there, many were coming on their own terms, coming in their own way. But then Mark highlights this for us, and he says that there was one who came, but he didn't come by himself. Even as Matthew and Luke give us the same narrative, Mark takes it a step further and tells us that there were four good friends that had not left their buddy when he had gotten paralyzed. But as a matter of fact, they who could walk had a concern for one who could not. They who were mobile, whose legs did work, had an interest in one whose legs did not. I'm going somewhere with this. Those who could on their own get to Jesus by their own strength had an interest in somebody who could not, even though they may have wanted to. And so here's what they do. They say, since you can't get there by yourself, we will carry you to where you need to be. Most people, I told you about your friends and your homegirls and homeboys, would say, I've done all I can. I can't carry you on my bankroll no more. I can't keep coming to the hospital and visiting you while you're sick. I've got my own issues. But here in our text, there's one who says that we are committed. I like this because it could have been one, but the Bible says they had a deeper level of commitment because there was four, which means there was agreement. I don't know about you, but when I look closely at this text, I have to almost believe that he's talking about the church. It's mighty quiet in here today. They represented the church. And what are they doing? They're not criticizing why you can't walk. Most people want to just try to figure out, how did you get in that condition? Let's just talk real for a moment. How did your marriage get to where it is right now? That's all I want to know. How did you get in the mess that you, how did you wind up broke after getting paid on Friday? How is it that you don't have your lights and your car and all? How is it that you're in your condition? But you've got to move beyond this. Here's what I love about this text. This text is not about their dialect. You know, a lot of us have a lot of help language. You know, we talk about what we would do and all this kind of stuff. It's not about help dialect. Neither is it about help intellect. It's not about your good ideas about, you know, I think you ought to do this and get out of this situation. It's not about their dialect. It's not about their intellect. But it's all about their help interject. And what interject is, it is activity in the midst of the circumstances that are before you, that you step in and halt the progress of those things. So here it is in the text. They say, you can't get to Jesus by yourself, but we know where he's at, and we will get you there. They have connection. They don't have the spirit if they don't have three-point connection. Here's what helps us. In order to have and be able to do what they're doing in this text, you must have a three-point connection. First thing you've got to be connected to is the Most High. Look at your neighbor and say, be connected to the Most High. Secondly, you've got to be connected to your homie. Look at your neighbor and say, be connected to your homie. If you are connected to the Most High, and then you are really connected to your homie, then you got to also be invested in their healing. See, when it doesn't work in reverse. You can't say be healed when there is no connection and no relationship. But when you are connected to the Most High, what you begin to discover is that you will begin to see, well, baby, this is his day that he's got to get to Jesus. But I remember when Jesus was in Capernaum last time, guess who it was that needed a touch from him, and they got it. And so because I was connected to him, I can be connected to those who don't yet have what I have. And I'm interested, I'm investing, I am injecting in their healing. Most times, the thing that robbed the church is that we will say, I got mine the hard way. Get yours. I pulled myself up by my own boot. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. Were it not for the grace of God, you would still be wrestling with the same stuff, the same depression, the same enemy tactics that were ruling you. You would still be under that power. But somebody was praying for you. And here this man is blessed beyond measure to have four good friends that say, when you can't get to Jesus, we're going to bring you to him. But I love this text that even as he comes with assistance, they carried him where he could not walk on his own. They were connected to him. This activity is good as an example for us. But let me go on and share with you the reality. This is a great example of how you should do. But here's why this thing really works. The example works for them today in the text because they were able, through their activity, because their activity allowed them to also make adjustments. They had to make an adjustment in their activity. It was effective because it was not rigid. It was not so hard lined. But when the obstacles were present, they were able to make an adjustment to their strategy. Look at what the text says. The text says that they came thinking that they were just going to be able to walk in through the door. The normal way to go in is through the door and bring him before Jesus, sit him down, and then Jesus does what he does. But when they get there, the circumstances are not ideal to his condition. He can't walk in, so there's no way they can get the bed through the door. And so they have a choice. Well, we got you here, but it's just not going to work. We'll carry on home this time, and hopefully he'll come back, and we'll be able to get in there next time first, and we'll get you healed. Could have said that, or they could have said, we're going to be creative in our ministry. Right there on the spot. We talked about this Wednesday night. Right there on the spot, they launch a brand new S-curve.
That's right.
In ministry. Right there on the spot, they call themselves visionary thinkers. And what they do is, when they were visionary in their S-curve, they are able to see a door through the roof.
All right.
And an elevator through their unity. Y'all missed that. They could see what was not really there to natural eyes, but an opportunity for those who are in the spirit. And they say, well, there's a door through the roof. Now, when you understand the architecture of this day, the roof was flat. It was made out of mud. And so the Bible says that they were there, and they usually had a ladder where people would go up on the roof like David did when he got in trouble. He was on the roof. They go on the roof and they have their entertainment and they wind down from a day. And so they knew that there was a way they could get on the roof. And they say, we'll climb this ladder and carry him up there. And they dug through the roof. And what I want you to see is that there's sometimes when you're bringing people to Jesus, you got to engage in some other activities that go along with the process. They had to dig, they had to tear apart the roof and make a door there. And then once they got the door made, they then had the task of lowering him down together. If one corner goes too fast, you know what happens. If one is lowering too slow, you got a problem. Everybody had to be operational in unison. Every member of the body of Christ, whether you realize it or not, your corner matters. How you hold and carry your corner matters to the overall ministry of your church. Because you're in the process of letting folk down easy, not dropping them off. Letting them down into the presence of Jesus, and it takes careful consideration. They lower him down. Lower the mat on which he was lying. And then watch this. Jesus has been moving for others, but he has not moved in this situation. And before he does move, there's something that he observes about them. Before he ever moves in this man's direction, he has already noticed the faith of his four friends. How does that matter to us? Sometimes there are people in your life that you may be concerned about, but God does not move in their direction until you demonstrate your faith. This was not that talking faith, that blessed and highly favored talk about faith. This was faith in action. James 2:17 says, faith without works is dead, being alone. And the problem with the modern church is there's a lot of folk talking faith, acting like we got faith. But then when it comes to bear, when the rubber hits the road, when we have the opportunity, we are seeing dead faith. Jesus sees their faith and their alignment with faith in action does not escape his attention. Let me tell you very clearly, it does not escape his attention today that when we are aligned with faith in action, it gets the attention of Jesus. Matter of fact, Jesus was on the lookout for those who would come that had already gotten themselves together but were concerned about those who had not yet gotten themselves. Do you care? And did you invite anybody today that maybe you are okay in your relationship with God, but did you think to invite someone today and bring them even who is not in a good place, who's struggling in their relationship with Christ? He observes those who carried him, their faith. This was more than just benevolent compliance with the nice entreaties of a poor, suffering paralytic. But this was a marked faith which was not to be defeated, and it was ultimately noticed by Christ as being victorious in all situations. Over all difficulty, this kind of faith does win out. He took note of their working, not just their watching and their wondering. In alignment with what they believed, and perhaps they were recipients before of what Jesus had been able to do. And he sees their faith before he does anything. But then once he does see their faith, he tells the man, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. He speaks to him pertaining to holistic recovery. Here's why we challenge the modern thinking of the church, and that many times we have a healing service. You come, and all you want is to be delivered from that cancer. All you want is to be delivered from that ailment in your physical body. But when Jesus speaks, the first thing he says to him has to do with the eternal aspect of his existence. This body will ultimately rest in some grave and it will be destroyed there. But the soul of man lives forever. And Jesus speaks a word that would suggest to us that there is power in a declaration in the earth that can only be accomplished through the power of heaven. But it's available to all who are willing to take it. And so Jesus says to him, son, you are forgiven. He says to him, you are completely healed because of my presence here in the earth. And as he speaks this word to him, the Bible said that there were some there who did not understand what Jesus really had done. They were questioning, how is it that this man, who they could perceive was not God, was able to speak something so powerful and connected to his eternal existence? But I thank God that Jesus was very perceptive and he understood exactly what they were thinking. And he speaks a word to the man again. He says, I tell you, get up, take up your mat, and then go home. Aren't you glad that there's power in the name of Jesus, that whatever we're going through, he's able to speak a word with authority that eliminates all of our afflictions. The Bible says he tells him to get up from where he was and to take up what he had been laying on and go in the direction of home. And what I leave you with is this morning, that the Bible says that immediately the man got up, took up his bed, and went out in front of everybody. Isn't it interesting in this text that there was a man who was brought in, but then when it's all over, he's able to walk out on his own. Don't you know that when you are committed and connected to carrying your corner, there will be some people who'll be able to walk that can't walk right now. They'll be able to stand and do what God has called them to do. And then the rest of us will have the same response that verse 12 gives us, that they were all astounded and they gave glory to God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. Don't you know that God still wants to blow your mind and show you some stuff that you never thought you'd see? And there's some people in your family that's strung out on drugs today and going through all kinds of trials and tribulations. But I'm so glad that he has power to change their lives around. And as a matter of fact, you, when you look back in your own life and you're able to see where the Lord brought you from, your soul cries out, hallelujah, and thank you, Lord, for saving a wretch like me. Don't get twisted in here today and forget about where the Lord brought you from. I said some of us in this room were down in the dipsy dumpster of life, and the devil was having a field day with you. But I'm so glad that Jesus didn't leave us right there. But he reached way down and he picked us up and turned us around. Have I got a witness here? Anybody glad for the change in your life? I'm talking about showing up glad today that he turned your life around. I'm so glad today when I look back in my life. There have been days where I wanted to give up and throw in the towel. There have been days where I was depressed and in a low place in my life. There were days when I had to cry myself to sleep. But I thank God that Jesus is a friend to those whose lives are broken. Have I got a witness here? He's a friend
friend to those whose lives are in the dumps. He's a friend to those who are hurting constantly. And I'm trying to tell you today, all you got to do is come to him just as you are. Grandmama didn't have great theology, but she understood one thing. She used to tell us, I came to Jesus just as I was, weary, wounded, and sad. But I'm so glad I found in him a resting place. And anybody know today, he has made me glad. Have I got a witness here? Go on and shake a neighbor's hand and tell him, I'm glad I know who Jesus is. Y'all ain't shaking no hands. Go on and tell him, I know who Jesus is. And not only that, I tried him for myself. Yeah, Lord. Somebody in here can testify. I was sick in my body, but I found out he is Jehovah Rapha. I wish I had a witness here. I was broke and didn't have any money, but I found out he is Jehovah Jireh. Have I got a witness here? I don't know about you, but I was in a place of chaos in my life, and I found out he is Jehovah Nisi. Yeah, Lord. And I'm trying to tell you, whatever it is, try Jesus. Yeah. How do you know he works? Well, one Sunday morning in 1984, I tried him for myself. I gave the preacher my hand and the Lord my heart. Every day had been sunshine. I've had to cry sometimes, but through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. And I'm not the only one in here. Anybody learning how to trust in Jesus? Anybody learning how to depend on the Lord? Why don't you stand on your feet and tell your neighbor, I'm leaning on the everlasting arms. I may look like I'm about to fall over, but God is a present help for me. Yeah, in the time of storm. Yeah, yes. Go on and tell somebody, I know who he is, what he's done for me. Can I tell you the real reason why I celebrate him one Friday on a hill called Calvary? You know what he did. He died till the sun refused to shine. Died. Yeah, he died. They buried him in a borrowed tomb. But can we celebrate early Sunday morning? He got up, all power in his hand. Shout glory, glory, hallelujah. Since I laid my burdens down, whatever you're going through, Hopewell, hang on in there. He's able to bring you out. Anybody know he's able? Set your neighbor's hand and tell him, I know he's able. I know he's able. He will turn it around. He'll turn it around. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Anybody try it for yourself? He'll do it for you. Won't he do it? Thank God that I am connected. Thank God I'm committed to his cause. Can you just wave your hand? If you know somebody in your life that's still out there in the world that's under the power and oppression of Satan, that you make a declaration today that I'm going to catch my corner. I'm not going to leave them there. I'm going to keep praying for them. I'm going to keep putting them in the hands of the Lord. I'm going to keep going before him and bowing before him. I heard a story the other day about King Hezekiah. In the midst of trouble in his life, got a threatening letter from King Sennacherib. And the Bible says that when he got that letter, he understood he couldn't handle his enemies. And so what he did, he unrolled the roll in the temple of the Lord. And as he said, God, this is your mail. I can't handle what's in front of me, but I'm putting it in your hands. And the Bible said that help came from somewhere, and the Lord was able to take care of his enemies. And all I'm trying to tell you is God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above what you're asking and can even imagine. Anybody ever seen God blow your mind with what he's able to do? Go on and slap your neighbor a high five and tell him, I've seen him do the impossible. I've been able to touch the intangible. I've seen the invisible, because the God I serve, he's able, whatever it is, he's able. We want to extend an invitation. We offer Christ to you. Somebody needs to be introduced to Christ, Jesus Christ, on today. You spent far too long in the wrestling match in your mind about whether or not doubting his ability to help you with your infirmities and your diseases. But you need to know right now and today that whatever those things are, put them behind you and come on to Christ. We ask all who are able to stand, if you can stand. We offer Christ to you. Oh, my brother. Why don't you come today? Oh, my Jesus. Come on. You ought to come to Christ right now. Is there any weary, any broken-hearted, broken spirit in you, among us? Any sick among you? We offer you the solution today to all of your problems, to all of your